And peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken primarily from our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 10. Well, it all started out with the state wanting to reduce the number of tires that were in the landfills. They wanted, the idea was behind all of this was is to turn scrap tires into new surface material that they could put on playgrounds to make them a little bit safer. So the state of Missouri then came up with a program called the 2012 Playground Scrap Tire Surface Material Grant Program. Sounds like something a government would do, right? You know? Well, they invited all the schools and preschools then to apply for grants, supposedly for this neutral state program here. Well, Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri did just that. So they applied for a grant, sent it off to the state, and so when the state reviewed it, they denied it. They denied it because the preschool was operated by a church. So, what did they do? Well, the Alliance Defending Freedom's attorney took up the case, and that case, believe it or not, went all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, this past June, in a verdict, 7-2, the Supreme Court said that it was unconstitutional what the state was doing to the preschool. So they overturned it. And so the attorney said, well, the government should treat children's safety at religious schools the same as it does at non-religious schools. And so the Supreme Court's decision today affirms that common sense principle and the larger truth that government isn't being neutral when it treats religious organizations worse than everyone else. Interesting situation. Again, that was a Missouri-centered preschool there in Missouri, and so the Supreme Court upheld that decision. Great thing, quite frankly. It has impacts on all kinds of decisions that are made by governments in regards to churches and preschools and schools and those kinds of things. But it's also interesting here how people will go to such extremes to separate church from state. Funny when you think about it, that it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And if you were to go to the Supreme Court, you would see a picture of Moses holding the Ten Commandments. It's on a door in the Supreme Court building. Now, the words themselves, they aren't there in English, but they're in Hebrew. But nonetheless, it's the fact that God is giving what? His laws, his commandments to Moses. Fascinating here. Who's the source of all those laws again? Well, it's God. Folks try to deny God. They try to separate God out of their lives. They try other religions. They create their own. But basically, every one of them is challenging the God of creation. For example, in our Old Testament lesson today, Job. He's trying to justify himself before God. Job is challenging God there. And the Lord has had enough. So we hear the Lord God speak to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea door with doors when it burst from the womb? When I made clouds its garments and thick darkness and swaddling band, I prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Fascinating when we're hearing all these words here. God has had enough of Job. He's saying to him, are you me? Are you God? Did you create all these things here? Surely you know. So what's God really doing here with Job? Well, he's putting Job in his place. God is saying to him very clearly here, I am the creator and you are the created. Well, all the people of the earth, well, they don't understand their place on this world. Well, upon their death, meet the creator, their creator. And then receive the consequences for their beliefs and actions. It all gets back to what a person believes. Now, we who believe in the Lord God Almighty, we understand all of this. We can go to our epistle lesson today, Paul's letter there to the Romans, chapter 10. Now, the first part of our lesson there reminds us about Moses and the law, and how a person must keep the law in order to be righteous. Trouble is, as you and I know, that we can't keep the law. And so what does the law then serve? Well, it serves as a reminder that we're sinful human beings. But yet at the same time, we also know that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that leads us then into the second part of his lesson. Here where he says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Well, it's that very last sentence. That's where we need to keep our focus on this morning. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hearing the words of Christ, about our God. Ever wonder why we read scripture passages like we did this morning, every worship service? Faith comes from hearing. Got to know what's in the Bible. Got to hear what's in the Bible. Because faith gets instilled in you from hearing God's word. And so we need to hear that. We need to study that. We need to be in Bible study. We need to have more Bible studies here. Bible studies on Sunday morning. We need to make sure that we are reading our Bibles throughout the week. Your children should be in Sunday school. Why? Because faith comes from hearing, studying, and learning about Jesus. You see, that's where the world misses out. They refuse to acknowledge the Creator. They don't want to read about it. They don't want to hear about it. They refuse to acknowledge the Creator and their Savior. And so when we refuse to hear Christ's word and study the Bible, well, we might find ourselves then misplacing our trust and end up opposing God, not unlike the state of Missouri. It's so important for us to keep our focus on Jesus. And so what's the practical example of doing just that when our eyes are focused on the author and perfecter of our faith? Well, that we can go to our gospel reading for today. Here's the scene. Jesus had just been teaching the crowds, and so as typical then, afterwards, he sends the disciples off, and he's like, "Hey, I'm going to meet you guys on the other side of the lake, get in the boat, you guys go ahead of me, and I'm going to go off to pray." And that was Jesus' way of rejuvenating himself, being in prayer with the Lord. And so after he's done that for a time, well, it's now late in the evening, and so what does he do? Well, he's decided that he's going to go catch up to the disciples. And what's the shortest route to get there? Walking on the water. So here we pick up the scene. So here Jesus is walking. Now, you know Jesus could have walked around the shore. He could have walked far enough away from the boat on the water to get by. But this is where we find out that Jesus has a sense of humor. Okay? He's walking right by the guys. And so here they are having a tough time. They're not getting very far because the wind's buffeting the boat. And so here they are struggling, and all of a sudden, in the midst of their struggles, it's at night, something is out there on the water walking. No human being's ever done that before. So they're thinking, what? It's a ghost. And so they're all afraid. And Jesus is like, "Chill out, it's just me." Peter is like, "Prove it. Tell me to come out there on the water with you." What does Jesus say? One word, "Come." So, Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on the water. And then what happens? It says in there, when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid, and then he began to sink. What does that really mean? When he took his focus off of Jesus and onto the things of the world, then he began to sink. You see, that's the same way for you and I. That's the practical application here, is that when we're not focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and the events and things that are happening to us in our lives, well, then what's going to happen? We're going to begin to sink. Okay, maybe our health isn't great. Maybe the car broke down, you know. Always happens at the most inopportune time, right? So we're sitting there concerned about that. Something else happens. You get a phone call, your kids, something's going on at school, you know. Maybe it's one of your kids wanting to move back in. All those fun things that you have happen, right? But what is it when we keep our focus on those events and not on the Lord Jesus Christ? Then we begin to sink. You see, it happens. And what does Jesus say? You know, I would love to have been there, because it'd been kind of interesting to hear his attitude. You know, he's reaching down there for Peter. Come here, you! You know, grabbing him by the shirt, pulling him up. Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? We doubt in part because we fail to trust the word that we have heard. We fail to trust what we read and study in the Bible. Even though we've heard it, we don't always believe it. But the good thing is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can take up your Bibles at any time and start off with a fresh start. It's funny what you learn in there. Psalm 119, verse 11. I read your word, I take it to heart. Why? So that I won't sin as much. Who would have thought that? The more we study God's word, keep it close to our hearts, it's going to keep us from sinning. Why? Because we know what's in there. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does, is direct our attention, focusing our attention on Jesus. Holy Spirit's never about, look at me. Holy Spirit's always about, look at Jesus. It is his word. And that's where he wants us to place our focus. So that in any and all situations, we might trust in the Lord. So do trust in the Lord. It comes to us in all kinds of ways. It comes to us in the Word. John talks about how Jesus is the Word made flesh. And shortly we'll receive Christ's body and blood yet again. In a way in which God comes to us and strengthens our faith. Because think about it. Again, faith comes from hearing. Hearing through the word of Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.